Hallelujah. May I take your seat? Get your Bibles. Turn to Galatians 4. We'll start with verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai was gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, of faith. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. God said, I will make my covenant with Isaac. What was the problem with Hagar? Abraham had two sons. Actually, he was the firstborn, wasn't he? What was the problem with Hagar? He was an Egyptian. That's a problem. As you know, woman speaks of the church, doesn't it? And here again, it speaks of the church. The church of bondage, the church of religion. The church that's mixed with the world. In fact, if you followed Hagar's life when she was cast out, she eventually ended up back in Egypt. She went back, took her son back too. We can't mix the world with the church. We've got to be separated. We've got to be a people apart. We've got to be a people that do not reason as the world reasons. We have not their philosophy. We have not their goals. Paul said, the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. It's dead. There's nothing in it that I want. Nothing in it I lust for. Nothing in it I long for. Abraham set out to find a city whose builder and maker is God. There has to be a commitment. We cannot be mixed. For if there's a mixture in the heart, more and more will gravitate the wrong way. Because gravity pulls me downward, doesn't it? She speaks of the church. It's not the church of faith. It's not the free church. It's not the church of promise. It's not the church that walks with Christ. It's a bondwoman. the church that walks with the world. And what does it say? What does it say? Cast her out, doesn't it? Cast her out. To this day, right now, in China, the worst persecutors of the Church of Jesus Christ is the Three Self Church, they call it, the government church. If the true church attends the government church, it won't be long before they'll be fingered and their names given to the government as traitors. That's why there's a big division between the two churches. We can't trust them. The church has always persecuted the true child of God. And the more that the life of Jesus Christ, the more that there's a separation, the more that there's less of that mixture, the more that one is a child of promise, the more the persecution will arise. They never persecute a dead church. It's a live one. They feel at home. They feel kinship with a dead church. Let revival come. When revival came in the first of the century, in the early days, when there was fire, there was commitment, and there was love, and there was grace. You've heard me say I was in the Baptist church. So we had service, prayer services every night in the basement of that church. And I tell you, there was more carpets of bodies than there was of any other type of carpet in that basement. And I'll tell you more. The services went on all night, every night. But it made a lot of people unhappy. And the hierarchy came down in force to attack my father. And they got so mad at him because he's the only answer by the Bible. And that's what he did then. Before he left, he said, "Well, gentlemen, I have a serious question to bring to you. Maybe we can get together on this point. There is a man that wants to become a member of our church in good standing. He has a very poor history. He's been in jail several times, a mischief maker. He's caused trouble in different places. He has killed people. He has tortured people. He is a man that people call crazy. In fact, he's one of those tongue-speaking type of people. He says he speaks in tongues, proud of it. And now he's applied for membership in our church. What will we do with him? Can we accept him in the Baptist church?" They said, "No." He said, "Well, his name is St. Paul." I can still remember the day when we came to church one Sunday morning. I saw the people standing around outside. Nobody went in the building. And when my mother attempted to enter the building, there was a deep, rough voice behind a rifle pointing through the window that said, "Mrs. Miller, if you step on those steps, we'll shoot." And possessed the building. Robbed everything that was in it. Everything was in my father's study. They couldn't stand the fire. that was just one case. And I could stand here tonight and tell you of at least 10 that I know personally. Over and over and over and over again. That persecute the new church, the true church, the church of promise, the free church of the free woman. With whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. The bride has made herself ready. The church is a bride. But is it Hagar? Or is it Sarah? The princess, the renewed one. The one that became beautiful again. She was beautiful, then became old. And old people aren't beautiful, are they? They're not desirable for the king's harem. But I tell you, God did such a job on Sarah that the king wanted her for his own wife. The scripture says the king hath desired her beauty. The king hath desired her beauty. She is all glorious within. She has made herself ready. She is committed. She's not half and half. She's not mixed with the world. She's not following the world's dictates. We are in the world, but not of the world. He hasn't taken us out because this is the place of our development. Paul said, the world is crucified to me. Until there's that commitment, I'm for Christ. I am Christ and Christ alone. Everything else is but dung. Everything else I consider but dung. That I might have the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. It makes no difference. For I belong to Him. The bride has made herself ready. She's renewed. She's attired in white linen. She's clean. She's devoted. She's committed. She's decided. She's not mixed. She's not half world. She's not a part Egyptian, if you please. Not only the woman was cast out, but her son. That is, everything she produced. Everything that was done for Christ. Between quotation marks. Was cast out also. God hasn't changed. You know, when that was written in the book of Galatians, it was already a story 2,000 years old, and God still used it, didn't He? He didn't change His mind, did He? And another couple thousand years doesn't make Him change it either. The principles of God are stand. And her son, the son of the bride, the son, the beautiful one, the son that she brings forth. The son of Sarah and of Leah and of Rebecca and of Mary. His name is Isaac. His name is Isaac. His name is Jesus. Isn't it? To be brought forth. To be admired in the saints. To become like He is. And the Holy Spirit, more and more and more, is coming to His church and is producing a son. More and more He's coming to His church and producing an Isaac. More and more He's coming to a church and bringing forth a son of the free woman. Did you hear me? The woman who had nothing to do with Egypt. The woman that had nothing to do with the world. The woman that belonged to Abraham and none other. Sarah was her name, the princess.
Isaac was her son.
In whom the covenants are.
He represents Jesus.
In whom are all the covenants and all the promises. And the call is to the church today because the day is getting more and more and more advanced. I say if in my young days they were waiting for the coming of the Lord, how much more today? As we see the world falling in on itself, as we see the world more and more in total confusion, as we see the nations tottering about like drunk men,
how much more? The bride is going to make herself ready.
The Holy Spirit is bringing more and more His light and His power and His grace and His quickening power until she shall be made beautiful. And her son shall be made beautiful, and his name shall be Isaac, and shall bring forth the joy and the power and the manifestation into his image. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his purpose. He's still at work. But I want to tell you something. It's not just a nice joy revival that we have for a few little months and then gone on and we go back to square one and like it life like it was before. I want to tell you something. Don't be careful that you don't be cast out with the rest. God doesn't ever play games, does He? He hasn't brought to His church such a glorious move and said it would be just a nice memory to look back upon and maybe look on a TV once in a while as you pick out a video. He wants to give us an impetus. He wants to give us a direction. He wants to give us an understanding. He wants to put us on the way. He wants us to find that He wants us to move on. As He's spoken to us more than once. Sarah said, all that see me shall laugh. Shall laugh because of the change. Shall laugh because of the miracle. Shall laugh because God done something so extremely unusual. When they see the changes that God wants to bring forth in you, when those that work with you, your husband, your wife, your family, your neighbors, they'll ask, you sure, something happened to you? What happened? You're not the same person. Something's happened. What did we sing? Something beautiful. I tell you what to do. Go home. Stand in front of your mirror and sing that song. And you'll discover Isaac. And then make one tremendous leap of faith and dare to believe it.
Something beautiful. Something good.
And out of the material I gave him, he made something beautiful. And all that see me shall laugh. God is preparing His church. He's preparing His bride. The bride is making herself ready. She realizes that she's no longer to join with the Egyptian crowd, even when they come to church. She has nothing to do with the family of Abraham. Even if she did bear his son. Even if she did do wonderful works in the name of Christ. The divine call from heaven said, cast her out and her son. She shall have no part. She shall have no inheritance
preborn, the Son of promise, the Son of faith.
Oh, let there be that commitment in your heart. Look on the cross and be able to say with Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, in which I am crucified to the world. I'm dead to it, and the world is dead to me. But I'm alive unto Christ, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died. Galatians 2:20. Join the crowd around the cross. Join those that determine to live for Christ. He is my all. And I need not else. And I want not else. For I am His. And He is mine. And I am rich. Above all riches. For I found the pearl of great price. And if it costs everything to buy it, I am still rich. For I have the pearl. And I need not the gold and silver that bought it. I need not anything else that costs. And it costs everything we have, even to your reputation, even to what people think of you, even to your ambitions, even to your lustings, even to your connections with the world, what it stands for. I am Christ, and He is mine. It is more than bowing at an altar, being forgiven, and then going back and live in Egypt. It is more than coming out and walking down the trail with Abraham and ending up in Sodom. That I might know Him. Power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That's what it is. My life laid at His feet. At Thy feet I fall, yielding up my all to suffer, live, or die for my Lord. And it's our choice. He already chose me. I have to choose Him. Not only choose Him to save me from a hell that I well deserved, but choose Him as my Lord, absolute ruler and King, with whom I will follow and leave all to follow Him. Leave everything and own nothing. But Jesus said we could not be His disciple if we did not leave family and possession and take up our cross and follow Him. And in that day I will hear, "Enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant, into the joys of the Lord," or else I will hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But Lord, Lord, in Thy name, I have worked miracles, I have cast out devils, I have prophesied. I never knew.
I choose Jesus. Shall we stand? Jesus, you love your church. You love your church. And gave yourself for it, that you might wash it and sanctify it and cleanse it from all spot and all wrinkle,
and present it to yourself a glorious bride,
without spot or wrinkle, pure, devoted, committed, dedicated,
and turned her back on all other lovers. And it will not be said of her, I have somewhat against you, because you've left your first love. It will not be said of her, you've worked hard, you've done many things, but you've left your first love. Repent, else I will take your light away from you and your candlestick out of its place.
I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is presenting to you tonight freedom or bondage. I follow Him.
I follow Him as a disciple, turning my back on the world and everything else.
Be a friend of Egypt and fix my tent in the beautiful grassy plains well watered towards Sodom. Holy Spirit, search every heart. Every heart that professes to follow you in this church. Not only those that are here this night, some are absent in the camp, but search every heart. And find those that will say with Paul, I take the cross and I'm crucified to the world. And the world is crucified to me. I will live for Him. At thy feet I fall, yielding up my all to suffer, live, or die. But I live for Him. I live to glorify Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to rejoice in the wonder of His love. And have the divine life of His presence.